You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Shop the biggest selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop. Visit the Team Shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium, open 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Wednesday through Sunday, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. In just a second, we're going to continue our roster evaluation, starting from number 30 and moving down to number 21. We're going to finish out all the way up to number 1 by the time this show is over. But Bill in Lakewood is on the line with us. What's up, Bill?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
Good, Bill.
Hey, I had a question. With all the turnover in the coaching staff, what kind of scouts do they get, if so, and how much impact do the scouts have in the selection of the draft?
Well, the turnover hasn't really changed the foot soldiers of scouting that much. I mean, Ray Farmer was leading that as the assistant GM, and it's a pretty traditional role. He was doing a lot of the detail work of, you know, making sure the regional scouts were doing the things that they were doing throughout the course of the year. And their work has been done. Much of that load has already been lifted in terms of on-campus visits and evaluation. I'm talking about in season, where you're going during the week, you're watching practices, you're watching tape at the various schools, and your regional scouts and your national scouts, what are called cross checks, going to the different areas. That's all been completed, and then there is a foundational board put together from that, or at least the beginnings of it. So nothing really dramatically changes. The coach's difference or coach's input would be different because, yeah, you're hearing a voice in Mike Pettine that you haven't heard from before. The assistant coaches, the majority of whom are new, they get to weigh in with their respective positions. But by structure, the personnel department sets up the names and talks about and figures out from the coaching staff what types of needs they have. They want to work in concert there. Ray Farmer has talked about that, being on the same page, being in lockstep with the coaching staff as they go to the combine. And I believe they'll achieve that. So far, what you've heard from Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine sounds like they do see it just that way. But the real nitty-gritty in detail, time is going to tell us. But more than anything, it's just a function of saying, okay, guys, this is what we got to fit what you want to do on defense, what you want to do on offense. What do you think of these guys? And then they sort of meld together their thoughts and try to come to a consensus by the time you get to the draft.
Right, and in case you're wondering, for the most, the scouting department is unchanged. It's all the same people who have been in this process all along, now working with Ray Farmer. So good call, good question, as this we get to this interesting point of the season when really you're getting down to the nitty-gritty here and figuring out who the Browns will be drafting in May. But now we're going to finish up our roster evaluation or start the process of that. We'll have three different segments. This one will be dedicated from players number 30 to number 21. And, Vic, we have a tie at 30 because we had to make a little addition here to get it in there. And I'll start off. We had Sean Laval, the guard. To me, I think he needs to be replaced in the starting lineup. I don't believe he's going to be able to move well enough for this zone blocking scheme. A clear position that needs to be updated. And then also our other tie at number 30, Edwin Baker, the touchdown maker. Averaged 4 yards a carry last year, caught 8 of his 9 targets. To me, showed that he could be a backup running back in this league who could play if needed to be. I think the one-cut system will favor his skills, and I like him. I'm all for keeping him around.
Yeah, Edwin Baker kind of showed that natural one-cut sense coming out of college, and that's the feedback I've heard from some of the coaches already, the new coaches on the Browns staff, and looking at him, Wilbert Montgomery, one of them. We go way back to when I covered Wilbert as a running back in the league when he was with the Philadelphia Eagles. So these are some of the things that the scouting notes that he has seen on him. So I think he's got a chance to fit on this football team. I agree with you, Sean Laval, not the guy that's going to really fit a zone scheme that requires movement and work on the move. I think he's a guy who who can still be a player in the league, maybe a backup type of guard in the league, but not necessarily with the Browns. I think with a team that is not a zone blocking team.
Agreed.
And then we move up to number 30,
29.
And we put Josh Aubrey there, the defensive back, a guy who, you know, gives you okay depth, nothing very special there, a guy who's mostly going to make his mark on special teams.
Aubrey last year really impressed me in camp, the undrafted free agent. Looks like he could play safety. He could play even some corner if he needed to be. Looked like a very good cover type of a safety, something that the Browns could use. Obviously, his season was cut short with some injury, but to me, I thought he looked good, and that's why I have him here for a little bit of upside potential. Number 28, Jason Campbell. We saw what he could do last year. Not the starting quarterback of the Browns. I would expect him to be off of this roster next season as they flush out the quarterback position with the draft with Brian Hoyer, and then probably bringing in a veteran, maybe a guy like Rex Grossman, who's played in the Shanahan system, to be the third quarterback.
Yeah, we saw the extent of what Jason Campbell was, and I think the Browns, despite as disastrous as the season was, we're fortunate to just have his experience for the little that he gave them, but really nothing going forward I see with him for the Browns now going into his 10th year in the league. At 27, Deion Lewis, running back, guy that lit it up in training camp. He was all Berea. He was somebody that we liked watching in practice, someone we saw in preseason games, looked interesting and dynamic. Not sure if he's a great fit any longer for this offense, however. This, again, the one-cut system requires a certain type of back. He's got the bubble possibilities, the open field work, and on athleticism, he can do some of those things. But it may be a little tougher for him, for instance, compared with a Baker, to be in that natural one-cut mode, because that's not something he's been used to.
To me, he's going to become a specialist, a third down back, a passing downs back who can take some inside handoffs and make plays off of that and be a factor in the passing game. In 2008, Steve Slayton caught 50 passes out of the backfield for Kyle Shanahan in Houston. In 2009, added another 44. We saw Roy Helu go over 40 last year in Washington. So Kyle Shanahan's not afraid to use a passing downs back, and Roy Helu, clearly the passing downs complement to Alfred Morris. That's where Deion Lewis fits in to me. He's got a lot of wiggle. Very small question is, can he stay healthy? But certainly, to me, has a role on this team as a third down specialist, Darren Sproles light, if you will, for the Cleveland Browns. Number 26, Leon McFadden. Horrific rookie year, in my opinion. Did nothing. He's going to have to shed the bus label. And he is ranked here, in my opinion, based in a way on hope. Third round pick. Hopefully they saw something on him. In my opinion, that's why he's here. You want to see him step up. I didn't think he played well. He was targeted 22 times last year. One pass breakup, 15 completions for 190 yards. Had the pass interference at the end of the New England game as well. Leon McFadden must improve.
At 26, he's on the fringe, in my mind, of anybody that you look at with any real hope or chance to be a factor, I think, going forward. That's the way I've looked at our list from 26 on down. And I think he's got a lot to work on to try to come back strong. He did not leave a good taste in anyone's mouth at the end of last season. You could call him, you know, I maybe won't use the bust word quite yet, but boy, if he's not a bust, you can see it from where he is, because it was a horrendous training camp for him, a lot of eye rolling throughout the whole summer of watching him try to perform. And the questions were raised, you know, why did you spend a third round draft pick on this player at a position where you needed immediate help? He didn't come close to giving the Browns that at all. This guy needs to have just a dramatic, dramatic comeback improvement through the offseason, and I'm not sure we'll see it. John Hughes comes in at number 25, and as I said, this is the point at the list where I think you have players who have something that can contribute going forward. I thought he lent some good depth to the interior of the defensive line, a steady-as-she-goes kind of player, and strong, athletic enough, and just quietly goes about his work in an efficient, workmanlike way.
Yeah, I like John Hughes. He was actually the highest graded defensive end on the Browns by Pro Football Focus, 11th overall. He was 7th ranked against the run. Showed a lot of promise to me. And if you were looking for maybe, you know, at this time of year, sometimes there are surprising cuts to clear room to maybe spend money in other places. I think the combination of John Hughes and Billy Winn, who we'll get to in a second, at defensive end, could really be pushing Ataba Rubin. I think Ataba Rubin's going to need to step it up a little bit to keep these guys off the field. And the way that we've noticed with the Mike Pettine system is there's not a whole lot of substitution and in waves there. He likes to stick with his guys. John Hughes, I thought, played very well. Remember, the former third-round pick, a young guy, 25 years old, John Hughes, very impressive last year. I want to see more from him and more opportunities for him this season. And he comes in at 25. 24, Quinton Groves, backup outside linebacker, special teams guy. I love his attitude, his leadership. He's a hard-nosed guy. He led the Browns linebackers with a 12.5 pass rushing productivity, 2 sacks on 22 rushes, obviously injured last year. But I think he's the kind of guy that can help instill the toughness Mike Pettine wants. I like him, and I think he's a valuable role player on a winning team.
You know, I had that ankle injury that sidelined him for 11 games, including the final 7 of the season. But he did establish himself as a strong force on special teams. He was a good situational pass rusher. The only thing that could be working against him, though, that he was very much a Ray Horton guy in the sense that Ray kind of just developed him into whatever he was with the Arizona Cardinals,
yep,
brought him as a comfort zone guy to the Browns, and I think in that way he was helpful. This is a different defense. These are different people who will be making those evaluations. So if he's I think his best friend on this particular coaching staff could very well be Chris Tabor, the Browns special teams,
yes,
coordinator, if he sees something in him. At 23, we go to Billy Winn, and you just mentioned him in the same sentence with a John Hughes. This guy, high motor, really good athlete, very versatile on the defensive line, always on his game when he is out there and when he is healthy. And I think Billy Winn has the chance, as you mentioned, to have a bigger role in this defense.
Yeah, and like, he could take over, enormously athletically gifted. I want to see it go to the next level, and I think Mike Pettine is the right guy to get it out of it. Last year, in terms of run stop percentage, which is tackles near the line of scrimmage within 1 or 2 yards, he had the second highest of any defensive lineman behind only J.J. Watt last year. So this was a guy extremely effective, can swallow running backs up, can also get to the quarterback. Billy Winn, I'm ready to see him take on a bigger role going forward. 22, Chris Obanaya. In my opinion, he's here because he's a total pro. He's good at everything, great at nothing. Interesting to see what his role will be in this offense. As Kyle Shanahan has had a fullback, Darryl Young, Obanaya could do that if called upon. But I think just a solid, like we said, a guy who can be a very good role player, jack of all trades on a winning team.
Yeah, serviceable is my word for Chris. And you're right, pro is the other word you would use. Finally, 21 for this segment. Finally, Buster Skrine at corner. I mean, he made incredible improvement over a disastrous 2012 season, but still need better from this other corner spot. I want to give him credit for the way he battled back, for being mentally strong enough to take all the criticism he took not only last season, but going into this season, as people see him as a weak link of the secondary or one of the weaker links. I think his aggressiveness and his athleticism allowed him to overcome some things. There's still aspects of his game that need improving. I'm not sure how much better he can really get, and he did kind of plug a hole there. The Browns do need to get better at cornerback, but Buster Skrine, at the very least, made himself into someone that could, well, at least fill a spot.
Yeah, he improved over last year, still allowed 9 touchdowns. Now, the good news was he had 15 pass defense, which was amongst the league leaders, so his ball instincts improved. But in my opinion, he needs to get better in coverage and as a tackler. 14 missed tackles, most among all cornerbacks. Personally, if he was our fourth corner, our dime corner, I'd feel great about it. You can live with them as your nickel corner, but there's no question one of the priorities, if not the number one priority in my mind for the Cleveland Browns this offseason, is to get a second corner, and I would do it in free agency on the outside. I think Altron Werner of the Tennessee Titans would be the perfect guy to target. There are a couple good options out there, but keep Buster Skrine is the third or maybe fourth corner. Let he and McFadden develop before you count on them in huge roles. Buster allowed about 66% catch rate out of the slot, 4 touchdowns out of the slot, so he's okay. Okay, but that's the outside. I don't like him at all. But that tells you about our DBs that he still ranks here at 21 because you need him on the field right now. Maybe that changes after the offseason. But if he can continue the trajectory, he can be a starting nickel back for this team. All right, when we come back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com, we'll stop by.